podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
This is Joe Pugh for IFL TV, proudly sponsored by Everlast. Delighted to be joined by Mark Tibbs here at his gym, Raynham Boxing Club at Origin in Raynham. How are we, mate?
Lovely, Joe. Yourself?
All good, thank you. Let's get straight to it. Saw you last week, didn't get to catch up with you, but it was a fun week, to say the least, at the Misfits at Wembley. How was it? Obviously, you had Elbrook on the card.
Yeah, I thought she'd done she worked very hard since her first fight. She worked very hard here at the Origin Gym, and I think it paid off. I mean, you know, there was only one way to beat that girl who she fought, and it was touch or go whether she could pull it off, because obviously was there cheering her on, and because of her limited experience, obviously, you know, as I say, it was touch and go, but she nailed the game plan to a T. I was very, very proud of her for that, yeah.
What's it like training, El? Because there's a lot of these fighters coming into the crossover boxing. I was just talking to Johnny Fisher about it, actually. Some take it more seriously than others, but El is one of the ones that trains like a proper pro, really, doesn't she?
Yeah, she does. She trains as hard as Ebony Bridges, as hard as Johnny Fisher, as hard as Tommy Fletcher, and Johnny Hedges, who are all diligent, competent professionals and prospects. So she trains as hard as all of them. But the secret is getting the balance right, and make sure they enjoy it, and make sure they develop, and pull off game plans like that.
Me, Elle, and Gareth A. Davis were speaking together last week during fight week, and yeah, she said she does have aspirations of turning pro. Do you believe that if she carries on with that work rate, takes it seriously as she has been, she could reach a level where she could potentially turn over?
For sure, definitely. She's 24 years old, and she's got a heart, and she's got willingness. And she's a very, very, very good learner, and a quick learner, and she enjoys it as well. She enjoys it, and she loves the sparring, the training. She understands why we do what we do, and she likes it.
Last one on this. Obviously, you come from a very traditional background in the boxing roots. What do you make overall of the Misfits and crossover boxing?
Do you know what? I haven't seen none of the fights as to yet, but the old production itself, sitting in the audience, was a great spectacle. There was professional boxers there. There was professional promoters there. There was celebrities there from the TV world with all their children. It was a different crowd, but it was a buzzing crowd, and it was a really, really good night of. I don't know if you can call it boxing, but it was great entertainment. But it was, I'm yet to catch up on all the fights. I never saw them. I just went there to watch Elle finish, put the icing on the cake, and she done a fantastic performance for sure. And it was a pleasure to be, to help her prepare for that battle, yeah.
Speaking of Elbrook, you can't really speak about Elbrook at the minute without speaking about Ebony Bridges. They're a dynamic duo. They help each other out in both of their industries. But just reflection on Leeds, a fantastic performance from Ebony against Shannon O'Connell.
Beautiful performance by Ebony Bridges, and I didn't doubt it for one bit. It's all up here, see? It's how you handle it on the night. And she prepped like a true professional. Like she did in the build-up of her first world title fight in Leeds. She trained just as diligently. She did have hand problems, as we know. She's had an operation since. But she was adamant she was not going to miss that title defence. And she'd done a brilliant performance, amazing performance. And all the simple stuff that all the flashy stuff we do in the gym, the simple stuff works.
She's no spring chicken, but obviously she's relatively fresh as a pro. Do you believe that she can go on for unifications on the latter parts of this year? Because obviously we know that she's out with her hand at the minute.
100%. She's got She's got IQ. She's got IQ, and she's got a same again, big heart, and she is one strong. You know, so and so. I mean, she's very, very strong, and strong mind too. And she ain't gonna sit down for no one. And she will want to unify. She's always spoke about unifying before she won the world title. She wants to unify.
Someone who was ringside that night in Leeds, and I know they've done spar in the past, was Nina Hughes, who's just won the WBA version of that title. Do you think that's a unification fight we could see down the line?
Well, listen, if she's the champion and everybody wants to unify, of course I do. But I've never seen Nina Hughes. I didn't know who Nina Hughes was, to tell you the truth, with all respect. But I was walking, I was in Leeds having a walk out of the hotel, and I bumped into a guy that trains her, and then I learned who she was, and I was over the moon for her, because I do know that trainer well, and it was nice. So, and she was ringside after, but I mean, Emily Bridges, if she wants to unify titles, of course she'll want to take them all on. Yeah.
Moving on to the rest of the stable then, Tommy Fletcher, big night for him, his fourth pro fight next week on the Yard Better BF card. How's he looking in the gym?
Yeah, he's looking amazing. He's finished sparring yesterday. He's had some good sparring. He's had some real good sparring, in fact, you know, just to develop him and bring him on confidence-wise. He's 21. He might be 21 this week. I've just learned. so he's still a baby in professional boxing terms and in four fights. This fight will be a six-round fight, so I'm happy with that. And he done eight rounds yesterday with some good guys, Chris Lutecki and another guy at the Will's gym, you know, the Edge gym.
Will Jones' Edge gym.
Will Jones, I can't think of his name, beg your pardon, but he was former cruiserweight Southern Era champion, yeah. So it's good for Tommy sparring with the likes of them, you know what I mean?
And obviously,
he's sparring with Fisher. He's been sparring with Johnny Fisher, John Hedges. Also, he's been sparring. We had him down here the other gym. What's his name? The heavyweight.
Moses Atuma.
Moses Atuma. We had Moses Atuma down here, and Tommy nicked a couple of rounds with him. So that was a good experience for Tommy too. And they all knew each other. I didn't know. They all knew each other from a trip they all did together in the GB squad out in Germany some years back. So that was lovely to hear and watch them communicate and have banter. Yeah.
We'll come back to Moses Atuma in a minute, obviously, because I'm just interested to see, to hear about him sparring. But with Tommy, how important is it for yourself and S-Jam to guide him correctly? Because there's a lot of hype around him at the minute. He's knocking out everyone who he steps in the ring with in highlight reel fashion. Is it important to kind of just slow down and make sure his career's steady as we move up the ranks?
Well, listen, S-Jam know what they're doing, and we like to think we know what we're doing, but, you know, he's 20. He's 21, I should say, so. And he punches very, very hard. I did tell everyone before they signed him that how hard he punches. And but you know, because he punches that hard, you still don't rush him. They've got to develop mature. They've got to develop ring craft wise. You know, that all takes time and patience. But you know, three, four years, be ready to let off a bit more than he is now. But once he understands that long jab, he was working that jab yesterday like Thomas Hearns. And once he keeps using that, he won't want to use nothing else until it's time to put the nail in the coffin, if you know what I mean. So at the minute, he's still got in his head, he wants to bomb everyone out. But that ain't a bad thing either. But no, he's coming on lovely, Tommy. And I trust S-Jam, I trust Frank Warren Promotions and BT Sport. They're doing a great job with him so far, yeah, for sure.
Just moving on to both Johns, Fisher and Hedges. They were both out last in October. Hoping to see them out relatively soon?
Yes, I'm hearing Johnny Fisher. He's been doing some good work with Sonny Cannon, our strength and conditioner, and we've done some boxing work ourselves. And he's going to be out, I believe, in March. So looking forward to the Romford Ball. going on the road a little bit, I hear. But that's all I know. And Johnny Edges, I'm hearing he should be out in March, April. I'm hearing, but I don't know. So we'll have to wait and see.
With Johnny Fisher, do you, yourself and Sonny ever get a little bit concerned when you see him and his dad eating all the Chinese round for the podcast?
A little bit. Well, to be honest with you, a couple of weeks ago, I hear he had a date coming up, and I looked at him. It might have been a month ago, and there was him and Johnny Fisher, and I looked at him. I put him on the scales. I put them all on the scales from time to time, because by putting them on the scales, I know where I am with them. You know what I'm saying? And I've got certain sparring lined up for them, and I want them to help me out with sparring as well. So they have to be in a little bit of shape, otherwise it's irresponsible of myself. So once they know, they've got to know my routine now. When I put them on the scales early in camp, and they know what they are, then I stick them on the treadmill, and I do certain things on the treadmill with them to get weight off. And I see them blowing. They know they shouldn't be blowing, but you know they've got to have downtime. These boxers have got to have downtime as well. So I like them to come back, so I've got a blank canvas to work to, because you've got to have your peak, and it's a lot of pressure for these prospects when they're under the lights and they're getting all this exposure, etc. There's a lot of pressure for them. So it's important for them to let their hair down, and they're 22, they're 20-year-old, 24-year-old. They're going to put a bit of weight on while they've got their downtime. It's allowed. But Chinese 3, 4, 5 times a week, no, that ain't a good idea. It's not fighting fuel. It's not fighting fuel. But listen, it's allowed once.
I think Big John would beg to differ with that one.
Well, Big John's retired, isn't he? That is allowed. Who can tell Big John?
Yeah. I wouldn't like to. But just moving back to Moses Atuma, you mentioned you had him down the gym. There's a lot of hype around him. People are saying that he wants to become the youngest ever heavyweight champion, wants to beat Mike Tyson's record. Just how good is he now you've seen him firsthand in the gym?
He's very, very good, to be honest with you. Certain things he did and said and asked was just nice, really. And he knows what he wants. He's a very good operator. I mean, I only see him here for a couple of hours, but what I saw, he's a very, very special talent. Yeah, he is, and he knows how to adjust. He knows how to go a little bit light with the lighter guys, and he'd done about 6-8 rounds, and in my communication with him and his trainer at the time, yeah, very, very good kid, and he's got a very, very bright future in boxing for sure.
A lot of people are speaking to me about his boxing brain. Was you surprised just how smart he is for someone who's literally just turned 18?
Well, I look at him as he's what you call a natural fighter. He's a natural fighter. He's a natural fighter. But he's 18 years old. He will need guiding. He will need developing. And he won't be winning no world titles next year, put it that way. So we all need time to develop and prepare, and get ready for when that time might come around. But he is a very, very, very good, special heavyweight for sure, yeah.
Excellent. Just a couple of quick ones I want to ask you, Mark. Anthony Joshua in the past week has been, it's kind of all but confirmed that he's been training in America with Derek James. What's your thoughts on that move? And do you think it's right for him to kind of move away from the UK and set up camp in the US?
Well, listen, I don't want to be too judgmental, but something needed to change if he was to continue boxing, because it clearly wasn't working. So, I don't know Derek James. And I wish Anthony Joshua all the very, very best, because he's one of our biggest fighters, and I want to see him operate at the highest level with our other top heavyweights, and.
You say something needs to change. If he was to come to yourself, like obviously you've been around the game all your whole life. Do you think you would know what to do to change his style to get back up to the top?
Yeah, I just he just needs to uncomplicate things. He can't have too many people blowing too many things down your ear hole, because it's clearly, you know, his boxing was a little bit confused, if you ask me. So literally, he's got to get someone, he's got to get a trainer who he respects and trusts and crack on. Simple as that.
Fury versus Usyk, the undisputed fight, the fight that everyone wants. Frank Warren's come out and said that it's looking like it could be late March, early April now. It's getting pushed back and pushed back. Is that a worrying sign that it hasn't been made yet?
Not really. It's a big, big fight, isn't it? It's a big, big fight. Let's have it right. And things have got to be right amongst the logistics of it all. So no, it's not worrying. But it's good that they're communicating. So that's good. So I didn't hear that, but that's they're talking, yeah?
Yeah. So a lot of attention's been on the whole crossover boxing over the past couple of weeks just because KSI's been fighting. But how big would it be for our sport if that fight gets over the line?
Amazing. Amazing, for sure. Definitely. And we'd love it in the UK, wouldn't we? But I'm hearing it's going to be in Saudi.
Yeah, Saudi Arabia. Oh, there are mentions of Wembley, but they're just saying they're going to go where the money is. And if past has been anything to go by, then Saudi's the one with the money.
Yeah, well, listen, at least we're going to get it. A unification heavyweight battle, and Tyson Fury, our own Tyson Fury, will be in that fight. And I back him to win that fight, yeah.
Excellent. Last thing I want to talk to you about.
Well, you know, what would be interesting is that, because Tyson Fury is so smart in and out the ring, as in witty on it, yeah. Usyk is as well. Yes. Alexander Usyk as well. So that will be a very, very... Oh, they're when they meet up, that's going to be entertaining in itself. You know, Usyk and Usyk and Tyson. Yeah,
very, very big fight this weekend. Chris Eubank Jr. versus Liam Smith. Can I just get your thoughts on that? And who are you backing in that one?
Well, as I see it, look, Liam Smith, he's got a vast amounts of experience and very, very cute and cunning fighter. And Eubank is going to fill it in there. He's going to fill that ring craft in there against Smith. And I feel that Smith's going to get off to a very, very good lead, actually. But Chris Eubank Jr., for me, is the fresher animal out of the two. He's the bigger animal out of the two. And he's got steel in his veins. I'd like to see Eubank Jr. lengthen his long levers. He always fighting short, bent arm all the time. Short and bent arm all the time. I think he could extend his long levers, make him longer at times, and work on his long game as well as his short. But I feel that he's gonna probably even get off the floor to win Eubank Jr. I fancy. But great fight. What a fight. That is a proper fight, isn't it? Yeah.
Do you think that the weight could play a part in that fight? Obviously, Eubank's fought at super middle before, and Liam Smith's kind of been a career 154 campaigner. This fight's at 160 middleweight. Do you think that could play its part?
Yes, it could play its part, but they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. It is a heavier weight than when he was going to fight Ben, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think the Ben fight was at 157 pounds. Yeah,
exactly. So that's why I still favour Eubank in this fight against Smith. I mean, it's a great fight. I wouldn't be surprised, you know. As I say, I think he'll get off the floor to get the win. But if he don't get off the floor, he won't win, will he? So Smith wins.
Excellent, Mark. Thank you very much for your time and having me down the gym today. Is there anything else you'd like to mention?
No, that's everything. I think we've covered everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Mark. I'm sure I'll catch up with you next week on Yarbaturbia Fight Week, and I'll see you soon. Sports Social Podcast Network.